Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are joined once again by Edward Giro, who is performing in his annual tradition now as Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol at Ford's Theater, and it runs now through the end of the year, all the rest of December.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining
us
again.
Great to be here, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Now, remind us, since we spoke this time last year about Christmas Carol, but
right.
How many years is it now?
This is year number 7.
Lucky number 7?
Absolutely.
All right.
I think we've done about 375 performances all told, probably a little bit more than that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What is it that keeps you coming back? Because some other people, lesser folks, might have gave up after 1 year.
No, it's a great story to tell. It's a ritual. It's a holiday tradition, and it's... it's a story of renewal, so it's just great to tell the story every year and kick off the holiday season for Washington. It's fun. And also, the other piece of it is that we raise funds for a local food bank and homeless services organization. This year it's N Street Village. So that's really exciting. We feel like we're actually making a difference, not just doing a play, not just bringing the holiday spirit, but actually bringing it into action for the community.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so it's fun. It's satisfying.
It's not hard to get back into it when you know you're fighting for like a
No,
cause,
it's
like,
in the body, you know. Yeah. The rehearsal period has shortened this year, and we have new folks in it, which is always great. It brings a new spirit to it, some new fresh blood, new fresh points of view. But no, it's in the body, you know. It still creaks.
Exactly. You mentioned sort of the charities. Talk about why this play, not only just the holidays but broadly, but this play in particular speaks to that, because Dickens almost was, admirably so, obsessed with sort of these Dickensian inequalities and ignorance and want, and, you know, are there no prisons, are there no workhouses?
Yeah, clearly he's a social reformer, right?
Yeah. So,
and particularly with this play or plays like, Oliver's running in town as well.
Yeah.
And he was very concerned with the plight of the underclass and making the world a better place for everybody. This play certainly speaks to that, and those who have... more than others, is a time to share and help others out and be charitable.
How do those themes, because he's writing, what is it, like Industrial Revolution?
Yeah,
it's
the 1870.
How does it sort of relate to today?
Well,
those themes
important. Of course. I mean, there's poverty is always with us, and in this day and age, the distribution of wealth is so acute. It's we talk about the 1%ers and the 99%ers and so forth. It's a very real part of our conversation.
Yeah.
And there are people who are in need. And how do we address that? That goes beyond how can we as individuals address that, not just the government addressing it or organizations, and how can we help out?
Does it help renew your own spirit, just personally? Holiday spirit, faith in humanity, is getting to grapple with this character, because you play other roles throughout the year and we all get busy in our daily lives.
Yeah.
But being able to come back to this every December, does it help sort of ground you and remind you there is good in humanity?
There's no question about it. I mean, if anyone who purports to be an artist wants to make a difference. I think we all want to make a difference in the world, but this is a very real, palpable way to do that every year and say, I'm walking the talk, not just talking. And it is satisfying. It's in line with the spiritual nature of the season and renewal and so forth. It does. It is. It's renewing.
Have you now that we're in year 7? Is there anything slightly different in how you play it, or do you sort of play it the same way, tweaking here and there?
Well, it always changes with the. Each night, you want to do it as if you've never done it before, and I mean, it's you have to battle the sense of routine, right? There is a ritualization about it. I know where the steps are. I know I have to do the same pieces of business all the time, but what keeps it fresh is the other actors, their little changes in intonations or little tempo changes, and in fact, the audience makes it different every night. Some people respond to it differently. They laugh a little bit bigger. They get some of the jokes quicker. And others have a different sensibility. So that's the other scene partner. So that keeps it fresh and in the moment all the time. But it is tough to battle the routine nature of it.
Mm.
But listening is the antidote to that, I think.
Is there enough in the show to wow people who maybe are seeing it for the first time, but also bring back those annuals? So I'm sure you get a lot of annual audience members, too.
Absolutely. So. I think it's become a tradition for many families. But no, the magic in it is great. The effects are terrific. The costumes are beautiful. It's as classic a production as you can imagine, that's perfect for the space at Ford's. It's a We're in industrial 19th century England, which fits that building beautifully. Yeah. It has that historical context, of course, around it. So, but the magic still works. And I think, you know, even if you've seen it before, it's just fun to see it again. We see movies that we go back to all the time, or it's, every year. We like, yeah,
sure. Especially this time of year.
Yeah.
It's a good time to bring out an annual thing.
Absolutely.
Talk about, in case for the people who haven't been, obviously you've seen it a bunch and I've seen it, but maybe the listeners that haven't seen it, it's not just the Dickens tale, the awesome story, but there's also Christmas carols woven
in. Well, what's terrific, yeah, that's what's, I think, unique about this production is that all the transitions are built around traditional Christmas carols. But using language from the 19th century, the original version of the carols. So they're not just there to sort of stop the play here at Christmas Carol. Right. It actually moves the story forward, and there are appropriate numbers that, for instance, in the scene where Ebenezer dances with Belle, it's, tomorrow will be my dancing day, and they're dancing. So it's Christmas Carol also tells a story of their relationship and so forth and so on. So
they're more woven in rather than
exactly,
stop and start.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the co-stars. Are there other familiar faces other than you coming back?
We have a core folks. The Ghost of Christmas Past and Present and Future have been the same. Felicia Carey playing the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Oh, all the ghosts are the same.
Yeah.
For how long?
It was 7 years. We've been doing it from the beginning of this
Scrooge
of this version.
That's
right. That's right.
We're a team.
And we are a team, actually. Anne Stone plays the Ghost of Christmas Present. She's been doing it for 7 years. And Stephen Schmidt is playing Ghost of Christmas Future. And he's also part of the Ford's company. He does One Destiny and does several other. Been working with the Fords for many years. So yeah, there's a core of us that have been there. Michael Bunce. Is there this year? He's playing Cratchit. He was earlier was one of the solicitors. He's moved up to Cratchit this year.
Nice.
So
he's elevated to put another coal on the fire, man.
That's right.
He's working his way up.
That's right. That's right. No, you know we're all part of the team, and it's just great to have the same folks back there every year. It makes it easier for me certainly, and we've built a relationship over the years. And
who's playing Marley? Is he the same guy or
James Konacek is playing Marley, a great actor from Washington area. This is his fifth year doing Marley. He's terrific, got a great voice, and a great actor, good friend.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you enjoy working with all of those actors as the ghosts equally, but in terms of your personal, you know, when you enjoy Night and Night going out, is there past, present, or future? Do you enjoy one of the sections a little more?
Well, I think past and future they're flying.
Right.
So we have sort of a different kind of physical relationship. Present, Anne Stone and I are together and we're in scenes together. So we have more of an interpersonal relationship. Ghost of Christmas Future doesn't talk to me, just points and, you know, and Ghost of Christmas Future is...
eerily so.
Exactly. And most of it in the past is looking at the scenes of his past. So there's not so much of an interaction between the two as much as there is with present.
Right, gotcha. What else? Anything? Who's directing it this year? Is it the same director?
This year we have, our production stage manager, Craig Hornis, has been maintaining the production, and he is now the associate director with Patrick Pearson, who's the associate artistic programming person at Ford's.
Okay.
As a team, they're coming together and maintaining the original production, which was directed by Michael Barron. But they've taken over the sort of artistic leadership. For this year's iteration.
Cool. In terms of the ghosts of the various past, present, future.
Right.
In movies they can find ways to sort of make them look more ghostly, but you know, with dissolves and everything. But on stage, what's the challenge of trying to make that come about? It's the same thing if for like a blithe spirit or whatever. Like that. How do you kind of?
Well, there's flying effects. Right. There's a lot of fog. Mm-hmm. It's very dark. There's lightning effect. The sound effects are fantastic. The lightning and thunder, and it's like being at a rock concert. It's really.
Yeah.
I think, in fact, the sound is probably scarier than the visual, right? Because you can feel it and sense it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Not too scary for families, though, right?
I'd say maybe 5 years old would be the break. You know, we've had we had two kids that needed to be taken out of the theater, especially when. Marley showed up. It's pretty scary.
It's kind of the scariest.
It's pretty loud as it chains.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of a creepy figure. But,
he is.
You know,
is. Well. But he comes to help Scrooge out. You know, he's a good guy in the end.
Totally. They're trying to help him show him the error of his ways.
Exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
That's funny. No, but I mean, sort of along that line, I mean, that's talk about how A Christmas Carol is different from other, it's kind of cornered the market on like the holiday ghost story, you know?
It's, well,
like,
it's exactly right.
It's got a horror element some, but also...
Absolutely. You know, well, it's scary to think about, you know, how's my life doing? How have I done? And what's the effect I've had? And if I'm unhappy, maybe I'm the creator of that. Maybe I'm responsible for that. And that's not an easy thing to look at. You know, I don't think that's the last thing we want to do is say, oh, it's my fault.
Yeah.
If there's a cloud in my life, I'm carrying it with me.
Yeah.
And that's what Ebenezer Scrooge gets to take a look at. And he gets the opportunity to change. And that's I think, what makes it worth going to. And I think that's why we're drawn to it every year, or even if not every year. But that's a kind of story that encourages us to, you know, take a look.
Well, do you think that's part of the reason, what you just said, part of the reason why, let's say, A Christmas Carol or, you know, An It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey gets to see what his life
Same
was without
thing,
it.
Right? Exactly.
You know, why the either alternate histories or our, you know, glimpses of how we matter in the world, you know, and how we can change the people around us. Like, why do you think that's so powerful?
Well, it's not a sermon, right? It's the kind of thing you would go to a church and say, you have to change your life. But when you see somebody actually go through the process in an entertaining way, the same message gets communicated, but it gets communicated in a way that you sort of enjoy the ride, and someone is there sort of standing in for you. And that's, I think, the magic. That's the magic of the theater, is that these stories are told so that maybe we can learn something and we don't have to go through what Ebenezer Scrooge goes through. We maybe figure it out beforehand, before it comes to that.
Before it's too late.
Yeah, well, before it comes to that, at least.
Yeah. How would you feel if someone came to you, maybe someone has, but and came after a performance and said, you know what, I was going in, I was feeling a little stressed around the holidays, and I came out, and I'm now, you know, reborn sort of like Scrooges.
Well, people don't say that to me, but with the opportunity to make a difference in a local food bank, that's where they get to have the actual experience of doing it. How can I share out of my abundance to make somebody else have a better Christmas? It's actionable, and that's something they do. They don't have to talk about it. They've done something about it, and that I think is the real gift of this particular production at Ford's.
Now, I'm trying to remember from last year, but I'm pretty sure the actionable part, you at the end of the show, you announce that they can donate, or how can people take action?
Well, we actually have I do a little curtain speech at the end of the show and say that, you know, we've partnered with a particular organization. This year it's N Street Village, and in the spirit of the play of charity and hope, we hope that you'd be interested in making a contribution in support of their efforts. The members of the company go to the back of the theater, they greet the audience, they thank them for any contribution they're willing to make, and that's how it works. And at the end of the night, we say, "How did we do tonight?" And that's based on how the audience responded in terms of their giving,
right?
You know,
for us DC folks, you are Ebenezer Scrooge. You know,
oh my God, that's right. I want to be Mr. Magoo, though. I mean, you know.
Actually, yeah, I think didn't you say that was one of your favorites?
That is my favorite,
Mr. Magoo's Christmas.
Yeah, it's available. You can watch it on YouTube. It's hilarious. It's just a wonderful. It's a musical. Yeah. Musical version.
Who is your favorite live action, non-cartoon?
That would be George C. Scott.
Yeah.
That production was done, I think, in the
80s.
The 80s. Earlier versions that I grew up with was Reginald Owen and Alistair Sim.
Alistair Sim is great. I love that
His wake-up scene is just fantastic.
Yeah, when he's dancing around.
On the bed.
Yeah.
It's really great.
I don't know anything. Oh, it's just fantastic.
It is fun. It is great fun.
I think it's that laugh he does.
It is.
You know,
it's hard not.
Himself.
You don't want to do that laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the
challenge.
The challenge is the draw of the role. It's for that scene, right? That's the great scene, the wake up scene. So you have to find your own wrinkle on that one because it's been done by the great actors and it's forever and you know etched in our memories on film.
It's got to be hard not to have that looping in your mind though as you're doing.
Yeah,
how do you make it your own but also keep it familiar?
Well, you know, it's our particular version with a cutting. Right? It's this particular adaptation. So the way that it's revealed is different than the film. We can't do a smash cut from the grave to the bedroom. We have a transition where the furniture has to appear.
Right.
So it sort of slows it down and it's structured a little bit differently. So it's in some ways determined by the actual reality of producing the play. When you get into the room, then it opens up. But it's the timing is different because of that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I went last year, but I'm trying to remember. Is there an intermission or is it straight through?
There is. There is an intermission.
Okay.
After the Ghost of Christmas Past, there's an intermission, and he comes out and he's in the present.
present, future. Yeah. Yeah.
There's sort of two ghosts in Act One. There's Marley and Christmas present, past rather, yeah. and then present and future.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
In Act Two.
Cool. Well, yeah. I mean, any other, you know, if our listeners are sitting on the fence, they let's say they went last year or a couple years ago.
Well, come back if you've seen it already, or come see it again. But just come down and see it. It's a great way to experience Christmas in a great theater in the center of town, and enjoy the holiday.
Obviously, we're all going to go see A Christmas Carol here, but after that wraps up, what do you personally have on tap, or are you doing anything else at Ford's, or what else around
no,
town?
No, not at Ford's this year. I'm looking forward to a two-month break, get
well
some
deserved.
Rest. Yeah, you know. I tell people that now I'm doing Christmas Carol. I'm actually in between naps. I'm doing Christmas Carol.
Do you but, keep the cap?
Oh no, right. No, in March I'll start rehearsals at Woolly Mammoth Theater doing a play called The Nether, and I'm excited about that. I've never performed at Woolly Mammoth.
What's that one about?
The Nether is a really interesting play. It's very different from Christmas Carol. It's about an internet world that's totally sensate. It's sort of a detective procedural where someone has created a world that he's totally involved in, can feel and taste and touch and so forth, and it's bothering people in the authority. They want to destroy this sort of world. So the question of, it's really a debate play about if someone has certain predilections that are sort of quarantining themselves in a virtual world. Why would you want to destroy the virtual world and put them back in a real world?
Right.
So it's a really interesting question.
It's interesting.
Technically, it should be a wonderful visual to sort of create this internet world that we can enter.
Yeah.
And the thrill of a detective procedural.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anything else beyond that, or that's
it for this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
I have other things coming up, like my son getting married and life things like that. So that's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Hey, of all the roles you've played, that's father-in-law is probably the best one.
Exactly. Well, I'll let you know.
All right. Cool. Awesome. No bah humbugs in your speech. You doing a speech? A toast?
I don't know yet. I'm about to. I'll find out. You know.
Awesome. Well, yeah.
I hope so.
No bah humbugs.
No, we're very proud of him.
Okay, awesome. Well, before you go, could you just give us a little Scrooge, you know, buy a humbug and then tell
us? Buy a humbug and come down and see our play.
Could you say it?
Merry Christmas.
Could you loop T.O.P. into that somehow? Buy a humbug to T.O.P.
Buy a humbug to W.T.O.P. and then have a merry holiday to all of you.
Awesome. Edward Giro, once again, let's make it an annual
all
tradition.
All right, Jason.
W.T.O.P.
Right.
Thanks so much.